Hi, I'm Scott Hanselman, and it's Azure Friday. We're here talking about Azure Cosmos DB with Kirill Gavrilouk, one of my favorite people, and we're going to talk about the Graph APIs. There's lots of ways to talk to Cosmos, right? This is just one.
That's true. That's right. And so it's the reason it's a big deal, we think, is because it is a globally distributed multimodal database service. So it's not just a graph database. It has a number of great things to it. It's globally distributed turnkey, which you've seen already. It's elastically globally scalable with infinitely on throughput and storage size. It's very fast in single-digit millisecond latency. And it's multimodal. And we've talked about a few things that you can talk to it using Mongo. You can talk to it using SQL. You can talk to it using Azure Table Storage APIs. You can talk to it using Gremlin API,
which Gremlin.
Yeah, it's one of the APIs that are fairly widespread now, and it's part of Apache Tinkerpop project, is the protocol for graph database, which is part of Apache Tinkerpop project, called Gremlin. And we always feel that instead of always constantly inventing our own thing, we sometimes need to embrace what's good out there. For example, Mongo is a great API, and we support it at the protocol level. Similar with Gremlin API. We support Gremlin at the protocol level. So you can take any of the libraries out there. In fact, let's take a look. I mean, I have an Node.js app.
Let's do it.
And I'm using one of the Gremlin NPM modules. So let me introduce the app quickly. You may have seen it as part of Build Keynote. And it's a version of this. It's a made-up wiki about Marvel Universe, right? All bunch of heroes, and you can read about them. And we augmented it with a chat service. So you can chat with your heroes, with your favorite hero, right?
Nice.
So I can ask an Iron Man a question. For example, what comics are you in with Thor?
Okay.
So we get some bunch of cryptic comics names. Apparently, that's how
Avengers 111.
Avengers and Contest of Champions. Now, if you look at the code, this is the part of the app that talks Gremlin. We're using an open source NPM module, Gremlin. And this is the query that we're using. We're trying to make sense out of the question, and then we use this query to ask.
So it's like a fluent interface using JavaScript out.as.in. Okay. So yes, it's a standard though, and there's lots of Gremlin applications out there.
Maybe not as many as SQL.
Sure.
But there are quite a few.
Yes.
So let's take a look at the Azure portal at the data. Right?
Okay.
And so this is the database that is backing this app. And let's take a look at what's inside, just so that the query makes sense. Now you have
That was cool.
By default, we get all the nodes. And the paradigm in the Graph Explorer, in Cosmos DB, is that you look for you query the nodes, and then you can click on one of the nodes or any of them, and we show you all the neighbors of it. And then you can keep expanding and exploring the graph. We offer you some nice styling functions. So, for example, you can, instead of showing GUIs, you can work with names of the nodes. Let me type in, and let me identify the node. The hero was Tony Stark, right? So let's say the name. We pick a node with the name Iron Man, and then we paste the rest of the query. And this is a Gremlin query. So what it does is that it goes out, it finds all the comics that Iron Man is part of, and then it looks for the Thor, all the comics that also have Thor in it, and then it returns those nodes, right? And here's our comics, right? And there's a little more. I mean, that UI interface cuts off the first few nodes, but
of course.
These are all the comics where both Iron Man and Thor we're in.
Right, and this is pretty complicated data because it's graph-based data here. And, you know, who's in what comic with who gets pretty complicated, and that's all represented well here in Cosmos.
Yep, and you can, but what differentiates this from any graph database is that there's more to it. For example, I can talk to the same data using SQL API. I can use SQL query.
Oh, so it's, I was going to say it's still a graph, but it also,
But it's data, right? So I can talk to data using any of the APIs that Cosmos DB supports. In fact, we have a nice convention where you can store in the same collection, you can store icons. But sometimes it's nice to visualize the graph, different node types using icons, right? So here I have some icons stored, and this is our convention. So these are all the icons that are stored in the same collection.
Okay.
And now I can go back to my visualization. I can hit style, and I can take advantage of them by saying that, okay, associate with names all the icons. And now look at that. We have icons here. And I can zoom it in. So you can see, right? So you can have a lot of fun with graph databases.
Yeah, it's also pretty sophisticated data and a very interesting way to present that. And did you have, I noticed that when you create your Cosmos database for the first time, you tell it your kind of preferred API. But then at the same time, after you were already a graph database, you still could talk to it with SQL.
That's an important part of the multimodal. What's the choice in create, when you create a Cosmos database account and you choose Gremlin, what the choice indicates is how to optimize the experience around it.
Okay.
Behind the scenes, there is a one atom record sequence data model that everything gets translated to. And the query engine is optimized for different scenarios. So it recognizes graph queries and optimizes them.
Because I would be afraid that I might pick the wrong thing.
Yes.
When I say new Cosmos DB. Do I need to worry about that?
No. You can switch within certain limits. For example, if you choose Mongo, it's hard to switch to key value pairs later.
Of course. The data is shaped wrong.
But if you started with documents, you can later on add edges, and the documents start getting treated as graph vertexes.
Mm-hmm.
That's very powerful, right? So you can have existing data, and you can add relationships to it. Like, you imagine you have table storage data, and now you moved it to Cosmos DB, and now you can add relationships to it using graph and have an equivalent of joins. Besides that, we also give you all those characteristics that Cosmos DB is known for. It's a global database, right? So you can replicate globally to a number of regions and have your failover policies. It has a rich set of consistency choices. And this is differentiates us from other databases that try to tinker with global distribution, is instead of showering you with 50 different choices, you can pick, we picked those. We distill them like a good scotch from 40 years of the distributed
system. Well, it sounds like you're being very prescriptive because you know what works and what doesn't work.
Yes.
So, we're standing on the shoulders of giants, and there's a lot of good computer science behind this, and you're trying to abstract a lot of that complexity away from me.
Exactly. That's right.
Like a good scotch.
I just love that metaphor. It's also a pretty fast database, so it can handle a lot of volume in at the same time offering you very fast latency.
And you have some SLAs that are pretty aggressive.
Yes,
like when you say fast, you're saying that yes, on average it will be this fast, period, or we'll deal with it.
Yeah, so for individual lookups, it could be 2 milliseconds on average, but we guarantee you at 99 percentile it's going to be below 10.
Right, and what's so nice about this is that you then expose that in your monitoring metrics to make it very, very clear to people how things are going and that. How many RUs are being used, and you don't hide anything from the user.
Exactly, yep. And it's a managed database. Like you mentioned RUs, different from other graph databases, you don't need to worry about VMs.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Here you just tell them, what is the throughput? And we use request units as a measure. And you tell us, I need 250,000 requests per second. Mm-hmm. And you enter it 250,000 request units, and we're going to give you 250,000 read requests per second throughput. And each request costs.
So you've shown me in previous videos that you can use Mongo. You've shown me here that you can use Gremlin. Are these the only APIs? Or is there, if I were doing Node or doing something in Ruby or whatever, might I just want to speak Cosmos? Is there a Cosmos API?
Yes. We support, we call it a SQL dialect on NoSQL databases. And that's the original DocumentDB API. And that's available for Node, PHP, for .NET, for Java. And that's a pretty powerful feature-rich API. It's equivalent of Mongo APIs, and you can use it. And it's a native, you get it's a native representation of the data. But it's not one of them is isolated, right? All of these APIs are equal layers. There is no preference for one versus the other.
That's really interesting that you say that, because I think it would take some people's minds just a moment to get that, because the idea that they are all peers and there isn't one that is like first among equals is a new way about thinking about a database.
And it's a hard way to implement as well. I think the approach that we took that allows us to do this is implementing these at the protocol level.
Right.
This way, we don't have to generate numerous SDKs for every API.
Which is all, yeah. And getting someone to go and use your database is difficult if you insist that, you know,
you must use this API.
So where can people learn about all of this so that they can get started with whatever API makes them happy?
Azure Cosmos DB is available. Just look at us up at either Google for us or look us up at azure.microsoft.com. We are Cosmos DB, and you can find everything about the APIs, the approach, the feature sets that Cosmos DB offers, and it's the same feature set across all APIs.
Across all the APIs. Absolutely brilliant. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
I'm learning all about Azure Cosmos DB in this video, Gremlin, here on Azure Friday.